sight of somebody, that's about the fact that they're, that, you know, this is actually Shona Sterling's verse, isn't it? Anyone who's actually kind of ever talked to Shona Sterling, she is someone who is able to draw out from deep within you the things that are important. And, you know, she's got that ability. That's who that's talking about. Well, there's a whole lot of them that you'll actually go through and you'll read them and kind of thing. And there's some of them about rock badgers and things like that. But you think, I don't even know what a rock badger is. That's okay. That's why we have Google, okay? So let's Google it and we find it'll make more sense. And but there are going to be some of them that you kind of go, oh, I don't know what I mean. But that's okay, just move on. It's fine. God will speak to you through one of the verses. Just stop on that one, focus on that one, and God will help you to do that. Okay. So let's actually kind of read some of the Proverbs in that case. And first of all, let's start in Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. We need to call out for wisdom. We need to actually put some effort into pursuing what God wants to say to us. And I think that that some of the things I think that I would want to say about that are that, you know, there is a, I think that, that there's a kind of a passivity sometimes within society generally, but especially, and sometimes within the church, that actually says, you know, just feed me, give it to me. Just, I would like it in a 5-minute dose, please. Don't ask me any more than that. And what that scripture says is, you know, if you want to have wisdom, if you want to have understanding, if you want to actually get the fundamentals right, if you want to move to the place where people look at you and go, you make good decisions in life. You've got your life sorted out. If you want to be that kind of person, you need to actually work at it. You need to actually do something about it. It's not just something that will come to you. It's not just something that, you know, you can be given by me kind of standing here for 15 minutes and kind of going, here's some things that I think will be useful. That will help you, but it won't get you there. What this is saying is, if you want that, if you want to be that kind of person, if you want to be the kind of person that people can rely on, if you want to be the sort of person that increases your capacity and ability and capability in life, then you need to actually press in and work at it. You need to cry out for it. You need to push in. And that means you need to actually work at it. You need to make the effort. There is, I think, a dependency culture within our society, which is not healthy. It's not a good thing for us to be in a place where actually we feel that because of the fact that we happen to live in this place and because we live at this time, we are somehow entitled. You know? And certainly spiritually, that's not what God says, you know. He says, call out, push in, persevere, make the effort, get involved. Push and see that these things actually happen. That's it. You know, and listen, you all know that that's true. Because you know that that's, because you've got experience of that in life. You know when you've actually done it, and you've seen something accomplished, and you know when actually you just think, no, that's not actually happened. You know that that is true. And so what it says here is, if you want to be that kind of person, a wise person, capable and able, and actually someone who's the fundamentals of their life sorted out, then you need to work at it. You need to actually press it. You need to push forward on that. And I think that, good things take time. Require work and perseverance. And so chapter of the for a year is actually, it's just really a reference to something that I did. So when I got that advice, I think I did it. somebody said that to me, or I read it or something like that, the thing about Billy Graham saying this is what you should do. So I decided that's what I was going to do. And so I did that in the first year when I was at university. I was living in Paisley, and I was getting the bus into Glasgow University. And every morning I sat on the bus, ignored everybody else, and just read my Bible and read Proverbs on the bus. And I went in, and I went out, and went in, and went out, and that was me. And that's actually what the whole year out there, I read Proverbs. 1 year, chapter a day, for a year. And that has stood me in an enormously good stead. So actually, you know, I love, this is partly why I love the Proverbs, because I just go back to it, because actually it makes sense to me. It's in me. I've got it. I kind of understand it. I get it. Because I persevered at it. I worked at it. And that's why sometimes, we're able to start doing these things. We're able to actually make good decisions. Okay, this is one other thing that I want to start saying in a minute, but I suppose this is the verse, generally as an introduction, that passage from Proverbs 2 is a helpful one, because it talks about, you know, if you want to be this kind of person, then you need to actually press in. Fine, we get that. But then we actually get to this verse, which is actually in the chapter before. Chapter 1, verse 7, says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The key thing there is actually the first part, isn't it? The fear of the known of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is used again and again and again, and particularly in the Old Testament. It's less common in the New Testament. But actually, here's the thing that we don't understand. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean some sort of angry person I am actually fearful of because I don't think that they're going to behave well towards me. That's not what fear of the Lord is meaning in this situation. What it means in this situation is this: fear of the Lord means I am in awe of you. I am overwhelmed by your greatness. I am humbled before you, and I you are so far beyond me that I am absolutely in awe of you. Okay? We have an awesome God, a God of awe, a God that actually should cause us to feel absolutely overwhelmed when we stand before him. That's what it means to be fearful. I'm overwhelmed by you. Not I'm scared of you. That's not what it means. That's not what that word means. It means I'm overwhelmed by you. I am completely in awe of who you are. And in a context, again, for today, in today's church, where actually there has been a pendulum that has swung, okay? So the pendulum about how we see God and who he is has swung deliberately and intentionally over the last 20 or 30 years. It used to be that if I stood in front of a congregation 20 or 30 years ago and I said, the fear of the Lord should be part of who you are, about how you live your life. In other words, I'm overwhelmed by God, I'm in reverence, that I think that he's amazing, that I'm humble before him, that actually no one would have any difficulty with that. That would be the default. People would get that. You would understand that. And what's happened in the last 20 or 25 years is this: that a balance or a redressing has happened, which has actually moved to what I would describe as the love of the Father released to his children as a revelation of God. So we talk about Daddy God, we talk about the Father who loves us, we talk about the spirit of adoption, we prayed about that earlier. We talk about the fact that actually we've been adopted into his family. We talk about the fact that actually we can run into his presence with confidence. We can pray and talk to him. We know that he's a good Father. Again, he's a good, good Father. He does good things. We're not going to be let down by him. All of that stuff, those songs that we sang earlier, are very characteristic of a lot of the revelation that churches had in the last 20 or 30 years, which is actually a balance to this thing, which was that actually people kind of had this thing about the fear of God, and basically how they saw God was a remote, distant person who had basically nothing to do with him. And so it swung across into Daddy God, Abba, Father, who loves us. And that was really, really important for us. It's right for us to understand that that's exactly who he is. But that's only part of the revelation of who God is. And if we only live in that place where Daddy is Daddy God and I can kind of, cuddle up to him and he's going to be kind to me, he's going to heal me and love me and all that kind of stuff, which is true, then we will miss the fullness of who God is. and we will not be able to enter into what He wants for us. If we do not also have, as part of the revelation of God, that God is going, is so awesome, so absolutely overwhelmingly awesome, so completely other from ourselves, so holy, pure, good, so far beyond us that actually if we came into His presence, we would feel like just crashing onto the floor and kind of start saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, do not look at me, I do not deserve you. You know, if we don't have a revelation of God that takes us to that place where we recognize that He is not only our good, good Father who does good things to us and He's never going to let us in, but also the God who is able to create universes by speaking, the God who is able to raise people from the dead, all that kind of stuff. If we don't understand that, then we will not have the right posture towards Him to be able to learn from Him how to move into wisdom and understanding. Because listen, if we don't understand that our approach to God has got to also be not just I can come into His presence and I'm welcome anytime He calls me by name and He loves me, but also He is the creator of the universe and I have nothing to say of any worth in His presence. If we don't understand that, then we don't posture ourselves correctly to be able to learn. Here's what happens when you come into the presence of one who you're not worthy to be in the presence of. You bow down, you humble yourself, and you shut up. You don't say a word. Because in the words of the lad, you know, you're clamped, you know, there's nothing to be said to you. You know, you know that you are in the presence of the one who is far beyond you. And it's in that posture that God begins to speak. God begins to reveal Himself. God begins to show Himself and His ways to you. So there's something actually about us. I think, you know, if you want to understand wisdom, if you want to go deeper, if you want to be that person, then actually the key that it says here in Proverbs is posture yourself as one who fears the Lord. Not scared, but is in awe. Humbles ourselves, reverently coming before Him, asking Him to reveal His will and His wisdom to us. That is what will lead us into the place of wisdom. Not us kind of like, come on, tell me some good stuff. No, that's not what He says. What He says is, come in, humble yourself, put yourself in that posture, then I'll teach you. Okay. So that's fine. So here's the last thing. So here's my Proverbs challenge. Okay? My Proverbs challenge is, let's have a go at this. Chapter a day for the next kind of month or two. We'll kind of come on to other things when we get to August and get to new term. But what I want is that if you're on the church's Facebook page, I know some of you aren't on Facebook, but there's quite a lot on Facebook. So if you're on the church's page, then post either the deepest, funniest, or the most incomprehensible proverb each week, okay? And we'll have a prize. Actual prizes. So we'll have a prize for the best post, okay? The one that you actually kind of think is funniest. And then seek to foster ourselves in that place where we can learn about the deep things of God. It's really Proverbs is a fascinating book. Really, really interesting. It's so rich, so varied, lots of funny stuff, lots of stuff you'll not understand. But just read it, bathe in it, soak in it, and do so with that attitude that says, I'm going to come down low, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to approach with reverence, I'm going to have that fear of the Lord, because that is the start of all true wisdom. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it brings us, it answers real questions of that, Lord. How do we actually kind of, how do we live wisely? How do we know how to do the right things? How do we build capacity and capability and reliability? How do we actually kind of get to the point where actually we're not just scrabbling around hoping that actually everything will work, but actually consistently we're seeing progress in our relationships, in the things that we do for our living, in all of these areas. we're looking for that, Lord. So what we're looking for is we're looking for wisdom. And we're looking to you, Lord God of heaven and earth. We're looking to you. And Lord, we do want to ask that you'd help us not to be passive, not to be those who sort of simply say, well, you know, just feed me and that's fine, and I'll go away and I can never mind any of this reading the chapters myself or studying or thinking about it. But Lord, help us to instead be those who say, yes, I want this, I'm hungry for this. And who press in and who say, yes, Lord, teach me. I humble myself before you. I don't know how to love God. I don't know the right things to do, but I believe that you would teach me wisdom. And so I'm asking you. And as we do that, I pray that as a fellowship, we would increase in wisdom and understanding. That actually people would come into our church, and actually they would talk to different folks all around the church, and they would go, you just seem to know the right thing to do. And we would say, well, that's because we've been taught wisdom from the Lord, understanding from the God who made the universe. So we give ourselves to this challenge. We give ourselves to this task over the summer, just to take us deeper into you and into the things that you have for us. Lord, help us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name.